Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host. My name is Vinny. And joining me today in studio, it's Kyle Kinane. Today's episode is brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson, the only place you'll be able to see Kyle Kinane this weekend for four more shows. Tickets are on sale now at carlsoncomedy.com. Let's kick it over to the studio and chat with Kyle. Good afternoon, Carlson casters. Thanks for joining me for today's show. My guest today is a comedian, actor. He's the former voice of Comedy Central. No brags. You may know him from his appearances on Netflix, The Stand-Ups, Drunk History, and The Tonight Show. And his new special, Dirt Nap, is going to be coming out very soon on 800-pound Gorilla Media's Comedy Month, releases this April. He'll also be performing four more shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson. It's Kyle Kinane.
What's up? I like that the headshot that was from 17 years ago that they showed.
I need to update it. Cut to this.
Like, whoops.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's been on the couch a while, but we're glad to have him here.
Yes, I've been out in the world. It's rough out there.
Things aren't going well, are they, like, Kyle?
Just aged rapidly.
Oh, no.
Headshots from, I think I got those, I think that picture's from 2007.
That was a good year for you. Mm-hmm. It looked like things were going.
I was on the way up. 2007 was on the way up. Now we're being shown the door, baby.
Speaking of the way up, welcome to Rochester.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, I watched your set last night. Okay. I was in the back of the room, enjoyed it. Thanks. Fantastic. I've been a fan for a very long time. This is the first time I've ever gotten to meet you or see you live. So I'm very excited for this.
Okay, thanks, man.
Yeah. I really found something refreshing about your show. I wanted to tell you. A lot of comedians come in and they try to do the crowd work about Rochester. Last night, you were just very on Front Street. I don't know anything about this town.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not going to be a jerk just for the sake of being a jerk. Like, if I see something I think it's a funny observation, I'll go over it. I'm like, I know nothing. I know literally nothing about Rochester. Here we go. It's your turn to teach me, guys.
I feel like what we're going to end up doing today is giving you a primer on the history of Rochester. We're going to start with the founding Nathaniel Rochester, and we'll work our way through Susan B. Anthony, Frederick Douglass.
Nathaniels through are Kodak. Always founders. Founders are always named Nathaniel.
Yeah. It was like a popular name back then, so I think like nowadays, if everything was discovered now, it would all be discovered by people named Josh.
It'd be a lot of Joshes. I like to think there's only a few Nathaniels, but like, well, my destiny has been determined.
I'm an explorer. You name
it Nathaniel. I can't kick back. I gotta go found a town. All right, here we go.
I gotta go out into the wilderness again.
Oh yeah, I gotta go provide for the whole village.
Jeez. All right. So, folks, those of you who are watching live, feel free to join in the chat and the conversation. I have
any Nathaniels I'd like to hear from.
If there's anyone named Nathaniel, please let us know what you have founded.
Yeah.
Please and thanks.
If you haven't, you're behind the times.
And don't forget to hit the like button. We appreciate that too. Mm-hmm. Now, I loved that about your set. I loved so many things about you. I love so many things about you because your outlook is generally positive, Kyle. It feels like you have a positive outlook.
Yeah, I try to. I think comedy is kind of mired in cynicism. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be, for myself personally, I don't want to be that way. I find myself slipping into that, or at least I used to. And I didn't like that about myself because I was shortchanging myself of so many experiences to be like, well, that's probably going to be dumb. Oh, that looks lame. Like, the best example I had is how I was the guy, I wouldn't dance at weddings because I thought, look at all these people dancing. They look like idiots. And then
they do.
Yeah. But have you ever been to a wedding and seen one guy sitting by himself at a table who looks like more of an idiot? Like, of course you look stupid dancing. Who cares? Like, it's a fun thing to do with your friends and get over yourself. Like, I just would take myself so seriously and be like so judgmental and point fingers at all this. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, all I did was miss out on having a great time. But boy, did I go to sleep thinking I was right about stuff.
I looked cool though, right? Didn't I look cool, Sal?
Yeah, well, I look so cool not dancing.
God. You know, when
going
you put
home
when
alone,
it's really interesting when you just rip people out of that mindset. Because I think most people generally have that mindset, at least in the comedy world.
It's a defense mechanism.
Okay.
You know, if you're scared of stuff, well, what if I just put it down? I'm scared of it. I'm scared of looking like a fool. But externally, I'm like, nah, I'm just too cool for it. I already know it's stupid. Like, I'm bored with that attitude.
So is that, in a way, reverse psychology fear?
Yeah. Yeah. What? We're all going to die. Now, do you use that?
Welcome to the Carlson cast. Newsflash, everybody.
But do you use that as a motivator or a reason to not do anything ever?
Okay.
I used to use it as like, everything, like, oh, what, the cool kids that smoke cigarettes and are smart asses. I still like those guys.
Yeah.
But I also like to be around people who are like, yeah, let's try this thing.
You know,
let's go roller skating. Let's do whatever, you know?
Those are the people I like to dance with at weddings.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cynical comics. Come on, guys. Let's get on the dance floor.
Let's go. Oh, fine.
Have some cigarettes. Let's
fine. Go. Yeah. Yeah. If you can find a mix of both, somebody that's like really cool. That's the thing. If you see a guy that you already think is cool and cynical, but he's like, oh, I like this song. And then he starts to dance. And you're like, wait, what? It's okay to dance? That's what I think was crazy about the 80s movies. Kevin Bacon was like the coolest dude. And he loved dancing. He fought a whole town just so he could dance.
70s, that was Travolta.
It was Travolta, yeah.
Hmm.
Now we don't dance anymore. Ain't nobody dancing.
Well, there are people dancing. I just ignore them.
Yeah, but they're like breakdancing. They're really good at it.
Now,
I'm not going to go breakdancing as well. I'm going to tell you that.
Well, I'm a little too old for breakdancing. Even if I try to dance, I'm breaking
some
stuff.
Now you're selling yourself.
Don't you do a whole podcast about this with Shane Torres? This kind of like
outlook on life? Oh, yeah, no accounting for taste. Yeah, well, that's what it started from, is that how many podcasts are about comedians knowing everything and just taking the most, I don't know. I think cynicism is the path of least resistance. If you don't understand it, it's easy to make fun of it. And we're like, well, what if we don't understand something? Instead of making fun of it, let's try and, or something that everybody makes fun of or hates, let's try and like find the good about it.
Okay.
It's much more difficult comedically.
It's a challenge. It certainly is.
Yeah. It's easy to shit all over something as a comedian. That's funny. And it's easy.
People
still like it, but.
I still like it, but I feel like that's a really great way to describe your comedy in general. I'm going to try to take the lighter side, but don't get me wrong. There's still shitty stuff happening here.
Well, instead of looking at a situation and being like, well, this is why it sucks, it's because I'm right. I'm like, well, wait, maybe it sucks. Either maybe there's a chance that I don't understand it, and that's why I think it sucks. Maybe it's something that's wrong with me. Hmm. Maybe it's how I'm viewing things. So I'm like, all the comedy is also me trying to be better myself. Like I said, I just shortchanged myself for so long thinking I was like real cool and knew everything. And like, oh boy, look at the last 5 years of your life. Well, I got drunk. Didn't form any meaningful relationships.
Check.
Scared. Yeah. Stayed away from any kind of personal growth. Like, yeah, I think maybe I want some of that now.
How long have you been in Portland now?
I've lived there for about 3.5 years.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. How are you liking it? Because I know you've been around, you know, you were originally from right outside of Chicago, right?
Yeah.
You went to LA. There.
Yeah.
Back to Chicago, right?
No, L.A. and then Portland.
Then Portland. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just I did all the stuff in L.A. and then pandemic, you know, we did the old pandemic shuffle and got us up in Portland. And I've been there a bunch and I like it. And I like whatever people, and this thing. So somebody will always have some comment about like Portland being a shithole or something because you decided to believe the news or last thing. It's funny. It's always fake news until it's the news you want to believe. So
right.
Like, oh, all the nasty stuff about Portland. It's like, well, I live there. I think it's every city's has the same problems Portland has. It's just a good punching bag for people.
But, you know, LA also is a punching bag. And it deserves
but everywhere
it
is a punching bag to somebody.
Except to you, because Rochester was not a punching bag
this for good or bad. I don't know anything about this city.
Okay.
And so that could be good that there's been nothing of note that's happened so tragically that it's made it onto my radar, or bad. There's been nothing of note that's been so prevalently successful.
So
it's made it onto my radar.
All of you folks in Rochester that are watching this right now, what we just learned is Kyle doesn't watch the news. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's hit the chat.
Comments. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
All right, let's hit them up. We got some comments today. This is a great one. Facebook user says, Vinny has been banned from doing the truffle shuffle at a wedding once.
Yeah, 7-Eleven hot dogs and Gatorade is my buddy Jeff Tate, who also lives in Portland, by the
way. Okay. Manny Muskets. Manny's watching in Philadelphia, I believe.
Manny Muskets?
Yeah, he says, get Kyle to start a beef with Shane over stealing Sam talent from him. anything you would like to say to Shane?
No, I'm glad somebody else has to follow Sam Talent on the road instead of me. That was Sam called me out from like, I'm like, if I feel like if you're a headliner, you shouldn't be afraid of any feature. I do feel like I'm not competitive, but I do feel like that's the like, if the feature is better than you as a headliner by the end of the weekend, the feature should get the headliner's pay.
I do think that's true. It's like that's a really cool version of like Comedy Gladiator.
Yeah, I feel like that. And I would have, because I just said something like that, and Sam Talent's like, all right, so have me open for you. I'm like, called me out. Let's go. He's open for me in the past. We're pals. Yeah. But there's shows where I'm like, what am I doing to myself? Yeah. Thank God Sam's big enough now that he doesn't need to open for anybody.
You know, Sam is going to be coming through the club, I believe, in June, I want to say. I'm right. Really looking forward to seeing tickets. Him.
It's going
to
be the best show you'll ever see.
Love it. Love yeah. it. Now, Chairman Meow says Drunk History was great. Oh. And it was great. It's great. It yeah. was a great show. I've always wondered how much homework do they make you do before you film an episode of that show?
I think they changed the approach halfway through.
Okay.
Because at first they're like, well, this is the topic you'll talk about, and then we'll just come over to your house or wherever, or they'd have a location, and they realize like, oh, we can't create a TV show based on somebody's drunken ramblings. We need to have structure. So the next time
you I could do it. A YouTube live stream with it.
Yeah. Well, no, trust me, the fact that that's what you were allowed to see was wild, let yeah. alone stuff that got edited out. But then they were like, all right, here's an outline of what we're going to try and follow. Try and hit these bullet points when you're drunk, because we do have to try and figure out how to organize a whole TV shoot around you being wasted, because they would do that first. Obviously they yeah. do that part first, but then that's a full studio production afterwards. And so realizing a script is just one person blathering, like, all right, well, here's a structure that we would like you to follow.
How long does, when you've been drinking all day, to get to the point where they're like, you're ready for camera? Well, on that show,
that's the thing. They would be like, all right, we're gonna be at your house at this time, don't start drinking before we get there. I'm like, come on guys, I'm a pro. And so I would start, but then they'd get there and, you know, they'd hang out. They'd get a little, they knew what they were doing. Derek Waters would like kick it with you for a minute and be a little party, get a little social, get a little fun first.
Uh-huh.
And then, as far as how long it took, I can't tell you that. I don't know. I blacked out after the first one and I woke up the next day and my house was cleaner than it normally was. Like, my apartment was just slightly clean. Like, there was a couple of things, and I didn't remember at all what happened the night before. It was like a true blackout.
That's amazing.
And I was like, something went on in here. It's like, you know, it's like the movies, like when, like, oh, God, the FBI's been in my house or something. Like, your shit's just a little bit over. Like,
yeah.
And then I was like, it took me like probably 20 minutes in the morning. I was like, oh, I did Drunk History yesterday.
Turned out good.
He turned out good. It was something to make it.
Well, Principle and Uncertainty, very high compliment to you. Whiskey Icarus is one of the best comedy albums of all time.
Oh, thank you very much.
You got a lot of fans out there, Kyle.
Thank you. Yeah. I've made a lot more too. I hope people like those as well.
You did. In fact, I want to talk to you about your new one that's dropping pretty soon, Dirt Nap.
All right.
Now, I hear Bobcat directed it.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Bobby G. That's what we call him in the biz. No, it's Bobcat.
Yeah. Bobby G.
Yeah. No, Bobcat directed it, and we did it at Acme in Minneapolis.
Okay.
And it was great. It's nice to have somebody that's also a comedian direct, because Jonah Ray did my last one. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. But the difference of having somebody who's also a stand-up or has done stand-up but in that world be like, oh, the way you structure the story, maybe if you said this part before this part, like that helps so much.
Yeah.
And knowing of like how to be like what the vibe is in a club and how to replicate that when they're filming something. So, yeah, I'm kind of nervous. This is the first special I've done where I've watched the edit. I hate watching the edits. I hate watching.
Really?
That's why clips of myself are very limited. I'm like the new thing where everybody just tapes their set and watches it and puts it out. I'm behind the times on that. And I watched the edit of this special and I was like, oh, this is really good. That's the first time I've ever said that about my own stuff. I'm nervous that it might suck because this is the first time I liked it.
See, that's scary. That's scary. That's the comedian mindset of, yeah. Oh no, I can't possibly do anything good.
Yeah.
Especially if I thought it was good.
Yeah. 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 Well, I like this. Oh no, I'm doomed.
Oh man. There's that cynicism again.
Yeah, exactly.
So this special is coming out in April, I believe. How are we going to see any stuff from this special? Yeah, are you doing all new stuff this weekend or?
Yeah, I'm still unclear. I think in March, I don't know. It's like March. I don't know. The rollout's weird, but it's March. The new stuff Sorry, I was focused on what day it's coming out. I think it's March 4th because I don't even know.
Well, they said April 2nd on the press release I got, but I'll go with March 4th. You might be disappointed on March 4th, but check back by April 2nd if it's not.
Follow me. I'll get it right eventually. Just follow my stuff. I will promote this with proper dates on social media, but off today, I don't know.
You made an interesting point about comics who film their stuff and dump it directly to the internet. I kind of like your approach better. I like the old school approach of, I want people to be there to enjoy it and be in the moment. Not everything has to like live on forever. It's like kind of,
yeah,
it feels a little much.
Yeah. I like keeping a little mystery to it. I mean, I don't have to get like, it's what it is. It's of the day. It's of the time right now is crowd work and it's the, you know, quick clips for TikTok and whatever, and that's what's working for people, and more power to them. It's not how I'm operating. Yeah. Again, I can get frustrated or jealous about it, but like, what? Well, how does that benefit me?
Yeah.
If it's not going to motivate me to then like light a fire under my ass to do things, then what's the point of getting mad about it? So
I don't know. I'm a weird person when I start thinking about stuff like this and like the way media changes. Because media changes based on, you know, a lot of trends. And the big trend is the TikTok thing.
Yeah.
And so people doing their clips and popping clips out for TikTok and feeding that beast really makes me wonder what's going to happen to the mind of comedy audiences who go out to shows who are used to watching things in 30-second clips. And when you go into a long story, keeping their attention span, good comics could do it no problem. But it's just a weird way of training the audience, I think.
Yeah, I think my concern is just how disposable it all seems now.
Mm-hmm.
That there's nothing being said of like real value. I mean, it's fun. You're caught, like, that's part of being in the moment is the crowd work and everything. But just stand up comedy as a whole is so saturated now that when is it going to be just dismissed as a form of like, ugh. We don't stand up. I was into that before, but now it's everywhere. I'm sick of it. That's kind of what my concern is like, when will people just hear the phrase stand up comedy and be like, this one's good. Like, I don't need
people. You think like shut the
kind
it out.
Of people that would like, write, like dismiss all of rap music.
Gotcha.
You know, it's rap music. I don't like rap, but there's legitimately good, phenomenal. Music. Yeah. But I just, I don't fuck around with that. Yeah.
So okay. Well, the difference, I think, and the only positive I could throw into there, because that is a depressing thought that possibly could be happening.
Yeah.
The difference is like there's a genre of music and then there's genres of comedy. So someone I've met people who go, I don't listen to music. I don't like music. They're sociopaths and they're crazy.
They're
and society dismisses them the way they should. Yeah. But people go, I don't like comedy. I think society probably treats them the same way. Get out of here.
But if you're like, I don't like stand-up comedy. Like, this is what's funny. Remember how like, we all, when people still make fun of, like, improv's a punchline?
Yeah.
Like, improv. Like, what is crowd work? It's improv, but the other person doing improv isn't good at it. So we're sitting here getting so excited at somebody that's good at crowd work. Oh, you found somebody who just is doing improv with an unmatched pairing. It's not good. It's fucking subway magic. So much of it is subway magic where it's like, oh, we only got time. Oh, find the queen. It's over here. Oh my God. How does he do it? And then you forget about it a minute later. Like it's very disposable to me.
I agree.
Some people do it great. Some people talk to somebody and extract a story out of them or then create something about it. But somebody going like, Mom, this bitch ain't married. And then like people go crazy. Like, I don't,
I can't argue that. I have no argument for it. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck crowd work. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. But I know there's good versions of, but like, so within stand up, I don't like crowd work, but I know there's good version within comedies. That's like saying like, oh, I don't like reality TV. But like, well, some reality TV could be legitimately entertaining. Somebody like, no, I don't like reality TV, but I like TV shows.
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel people might get with like, oh, I don't like stand up comedy. That's been the problem people didn't want to sit in the front. And I used to say, like, you're fine. I'm going to leave you alone. And now we're back to like people purposely sitting in front, dressing like they're on Price is Right because they want to get called. People wearing like pink cowboy hats, like, make fun of me. Like, I just want you to sit there and, drink your drinks and laugh and don't interrupt what I'm doing.
That's a bad mentality to go to the comedy show with.
Yeah, but that's where we're at right now. I see it. I've been around long enough to see the cycles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I got my pop in the alternative. Let me talk about my emotional issues and what meds I'm on era of mid-aughts comedy.
Yeah.
And that's gone. And now we're in the, let me tell you how the world works. We're in like the bro era of comedy. It's like
Kyle Kinane.
And so it's popular.
You're not wrong.
And it'll get what you want to get. And then it'll go and something else will be the next thing.
I've said it many times on this show. And the thing I try to remind everybody of is that comedy is like ice cream. Remember, folks, there's lots of flavors. Don't ever just say you don't like ice cream. Try a different type.
Yeah, yeah. And what's popular now wasn't what was popular 5 years ago. It probably won't be what's popular 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I can't get too frustrated over who's selling out a stadium or this and that. I'm like a real tortoise in hair. Granted, I'm a little old to be the tortoise right now. Like, well, I just keep going. Like,
you were young when you started.
Look at me now. Look at me still thinking I'm pacing myself. Maybe I could put out a few more clips on Instagram Reels. I don't know.
You'll get there. But folks, there are four more shows this weekend to see Kyle. You get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com and really hope that you do. This is a phenomenal show. This is one of those shows where you sit back and you look at your watch and go, oh, my God, I can't believe it's over. Kyle takes you on a trip when you watch a show. You'll enjoy it. So you get your tickets now, carlsoncomedy.com. Don't forget, keep an eye out for Dirt Nap coming out on March 4th or April 2nd. Follow Kyle on Instagram and Twitter, and he'll let you know what it is.
Get the dates correctly. I thought it was in March.
At Kyle Kinane. You can check out kylekinane.com. Break a leg the rest of the weekend, my friend. Thanks for joining me today and spending some time with us.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks again, folks. Remember, Rochester, be nice. We'll see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.